good morning, Graham, and welcome to Arts Canvas.
Good to talk to you, Karina.
Yes, and we've spoken before on so many rosy ideas. We're here to talk about the rosy result, which does suggest that there's been a final conclusion to all those other wonderful rosy books. And, of course, the result is a child, isn't it?
Well, yes. That's really the opening. So the rosy result at the end of it all is what happens with that child and what happens with Don. I mean, we've left a few questions floating, and I think perhaps the most prominent one is about Don's place on the autism spectrum, whether he's actually autistic or not. And we just complicate the problem in this third book by asking the question, perhaps Hudson, the son, could be on the autism spectrum. So we're looking at two people's journeys of self-discovery, I think.
Now, of course, when you wrote the original first Rosie book, were you surprised when people kept coming up with this autism theory?
Well, it was towards the end of writing it that people started saying to me, consistently, look, Don is obviously on the spectrum. And I just hadn't thought of it that way. I know it sounds amazingly naive at the moment, and, speaking now, when autism is just so much more visible than it was. But back in 2007, when I started writing the book, I was basing the Don character on people that I had worked with in 30 years in information technology, the kids who were in the radio club when I was younger, and the people I'd met studying for a PhD. And none of them, to my knowledge, had ever had an autism diagnosis, or Asperger's, as you would have probably said, back in those days. So I was just writing from life, as it were, and certainly not from any research on autism or Asperger's.
But, yes, it sounds like you've been writing about nerds and geeks, though.
Well, absolutely. I just said, look, these guys were nerds, they were geeks, and I wanted to show a little bit of an inside view, a sympathetic inside view of a particular geek in Don Tillman. But for quite a while after the book was published, I would still say, look, people tell me Don is on the spectrum. People in the autism community have embraced Don as one of their own, as a positive sort of role model. But who am I to say this? I'm not a clinician. And it wasn't until I sat down with Professor Tony Atwood, who's well known as a guru in the sort of Asperger's world, as I think he would still call it, I said to Tony, I can't diagnose Don. I'm not a clinician. And Tony said, well, I am, and Don Tillman has Asperger's syndrome. So he was officially diagnosed just after the Rosie Project was published.
Well, as we've been discovering, the autism spectrum is quite broad, from, quite minor to actually points where it's very serious and people simply can't communicate or can't take their place in society successfully. Whereas Hudson's not quite like that. He's just a little bit there where he sees things differently, doesn't he?
And we explore some of the issues that you've just mentioned there. We explore some of those issues in the Rosie result, like this question of whether people can take their place in society. And that's very much a two-way thing. One is what are their capabilities? The other is how accommodating is society of them? And also this sort of myth we have, a sort of high-functioning, low-functioning. When you actually get involved with that community, you find that this is a very inconsistent thing. Someone will have low support needs on one day, and another day they just can't make it to work, even though they might appear as sort of a Don Tillman, quite, quote, normal, unquote, sort of character. So one of the things I try to do in this book is to share some of the things I've learned about autism without in any way being a lecture. I mean, it's still a dramatic comedy.
It is indeed. It's still very funny because it sort of leads us into all those places that somebody with a rating on the spectrum can actually sort of do in terms of social gaps and things like that. But also I find they've got a wonderful lateral thinking way about things. I mean, I think, that, there's a very creative aspect to autism.
Oh, look, absolutely. And just in the past, we had psychiatrists, for example, defining autism. And psychiatrists, almost by definition, are going to see the people who are struggling. I wasn't seeing those people so much. I was, they might have had their struggles, but I was seeing people who had jobs, who had relationships, who were doing quite well and might never have felt that they were in enough strife to seek the services of the psychiatrist. So the psychiatrists were getting a very much a biased sample. And even with psychologists, if you read the criteria, these questionnaires for assessing autism, there's nothing on there that you'd want to have, you know, obsessed with number plates or something like that. Well, that's not a big positive. But if you say capable of recognising patterns where others might not see them, well, okay, that sounds like a pretty good skill to have. So I think it's a lot of this in the books is this reframing of autism as a way of being which has positives and negatives.
To a certain extent, this whole definition of autism and trying to pigeonhole people restricts them, doesn't it, in terms of what they can be, whereas we should be just looking at, as you say, what are they capable of? They see patterns or they see this, they see that. Instead of it being a negative, people should be looking for the positive skills, shouldn't they?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a convenience for medical people and for researchers and so forth, and just for the general public to be able to put a great big fat label on someone, say, well, that person's autistic. But it tends to deny the variation that happens within that label. I mean, you're female, I'm male, but you know, and that partly defines us, but it certainly doesn't totally define us. There's an enormous amount of variation within that, and to see that the main difference between you and me with our gender would be tremendously simplistic. And as soon as you say autistic, the tendency is to say, well, I've got that one labelled, I've got that one nailed, don't need to know any more. And that's the problem.
Well, it sounds as if the book's actually psychological self-help, but it's not. It's actually funny, as usual.
Oh, look, I think a huge number of people have come back to me after reading the Rosie Result and say, oh, wow, I've learned a whole lot of stuff about autism that I didn't know. And look, partly that's because our knowledge and the degree to which it's been disseminated and the activism around autism has changed a lot since the Rosie Project was published. But, you know, ultimately, it's just a novel which I like to think has got adequate research behind it now.
But you'll be fielding lots of questions about this, I should think, because it's certainly something that's been very much in the popular press, and I think a lot of people have sort of probably got a bit worried, I think, about perhaps kids who are a little bit unconventional or don't fit that straitjacket. So I'm hoping this book will be a bit of a balm for them.
Well, look, I hope so. I hope it's a very positive contribution in there. But, you know, again, it's a novel. We've just been having a ball at these these book events. We've had most of them sold out, which has been terrific, and I'm really looking forward to coming up to Byron again.
Yes, and on the rest of that, you've got film deals and all kinds of things coming along with this. How are they progressing, Graham?
Oh, that's always the question. And look, I say it's like a bunch of Taft Lotto tickets in the back pocket, because the Rosie Project and Don Tillman character have been optioned to Sony Pictures or sold to Sony Pictures. Two Steps Forward, the book, the Camino book that I wrote with my wife, Anne Buist, has been picked up by Fox Searchlight with Ellen DeGeneres slated to direct. And The Best of Adam Sharp, Tony Collette's company, has got that. So they're all exciting things. There's always something happening with them. There's always, oh, we've just cast this person, or this person has just dropped out, or whatever. But until the cameras roll, you can't say very much.
You can't, but we probably guess there's not going to be any more Rosie books, but we look forward to a whole lot of other books as well coming from you, Graham.
Well, thank you very much.